Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri, and good evening, Zimbabwe. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Thursday, May 12th, 2016. I'd like to thank you for joining us this evening live from Washington. I am Dimyake Mwakalyelye. Here are our top stories this evening. The MDCT resolves to take the central bank to court over its plans to introduce bond notes. But central bank chief John Magunjiga claims that he is still consulting stakeholders on this issue. And the United States explores ways of working with Zimbabwe in tackling human trafficking. Meanwhile, also business groups launch a report blasting corruption in Zimbabwe. Former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai's MDC party has resolved to take the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe to court over its plans to introduce bond notes, saying such a move is unconstitutional. Our reporter Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
Members of the MDCT National Executive Committee met at the main opposition party's Harvest House headquarters today to discuss the country's liquidity crunch and proposals by the central bank to introduce bond notes in the financial market. MDCT spokesperson Obed Gutu says his party resolved to take the central bank to the constitutional court, arguing that its plan to print bond notes is outside its mandate outlined in the constitution.
All the executive members, the national executive members of the MDC, were unanimous in condemning this particular illegal action. I call it illegal because if you look closely at section 317 of the Constitution of Zimbabwe, it gives the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe the authority to print an official currency for Zimbabwe. We all know that the bond notes are not an official currency for Zimbabwe, which effectively means that even at law, it is illegal, it is unconstitutional for the Reserve Bank to print a useless piece of paper. We are going to take this matter up with the court to have that action of printing bond notes declared unconstitutional by the apex court of the country, i.e. the Concord.
He says his party would also stage public protests to show its displeasure over the central bank's proposed plan.
The people are actually looking up to us to lead demonstrations, which exactly we are leading.
The central bank chief, John Magunjiga, has already indicated that fiscal authorities would want to introduce bond notes designed to give a 5% export incentive to Zimbabwean business people in an effort to curb externalization of foreign currency through a $200 million facility financed by the African Export and Import Bank. ZANU-PF spokesman Simon Kayamoyo refused to comment on the matter, saying he would wait for the RBZ to implement its plans and see what the MDCT would do. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Meanwhile, the central bank governor tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that it is still engaging stakeholders before introducing bond notes in light of criticism that its plans are unconstitutional.
The dialogue that is taking place both on social media, on newspapers and the press, it's a healthy debate. We have noticed some of the comments, the advices being given. I think the legal opinions that were given initially were based on the wrong premises, that they thought that we are introducing bond notes for catering for shortage of cash. That's not the case. That's not the case. The bond notes, they are supporting or they are funding the export incentive or export bonus scheme that we need to introduce. We are still talking, and the legal opinions, I think they should keep on flowing. We are learning also from them. So I think for now, you've asked a good question about legal opinion. Look, this is a democratic society, and the society is an opinion. And bond notes, by the way, they are not currency. Bond notes, they are coupons, they are tokens. It's a token of appreciation that are given to the exporters. As simple as that.
So these will not be given to members of the public. It's only to exporters. They
the
bearer checks.
No. They work like bond coins, Blessing. When you go to a shop today, you are given a change in bond coins. The shop owner bangs the bond coins together with the US dollar, but they are at par. The same will be the same with the bond notes. They are at par with the US. So there's only one account, which is the US dollar account, where the money will be put into. and you just withdraw it just the way you do with the US dollars. So the funding mechanism is not through the company. It's through the bank that comes now to us, whereby they will say, Mangunja yesterday exported, can we have the 5% to fund the position, the bank's position? Otherwise, the bank will be short by that 5%. So that's how the bank now have the bond notes. No, that is what we do. We give them. We don't just give them. It's only after the export, after money they received in the economy. And you might want to know, Blake, that after the tobacco producers requested that they wanted to use one account, the US dollars, and the gold producers, we have since also unified everything.
And there was also concern, Dr. Mangujika, about the loan from Afreximbank Bank. What are the terms of that loan?
You know, Blake, what we are talking about here, it's not about all that issue. The issue is that there's a single narrative, which is about trust and confidence. All these things, that question that you are asking, it's all about, it boils down to one thing, trust and confidence. That's the only thing. Because Afreximbank Bank, as you might be aware, are the bank that has been assisting this economy since 1997, and also PTA Bank. Those two banks, without those two banks, this guy would have gotten credit throughout the whole world. That is known. Therefore, to start today questioning the terms of a facility, you know, it's a bit queer.
And another issue that the legal experts were raising was that there must be an expiry date on the bond notes.
That we agree. That's standard, my brother. We have never. See, how can they give a legal opinion before it is? Blessing. That was agree. We have read what they said, and we agree 100%.
So you are still pushing for them to be unveiled in 2 months?
Listen, I said right now we are all engaging. I don't want to be people about emotional about these things. Let's calm down. Let's continue engaging.
That was Central Bank Governor John Mangujika speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu. The RBZ governor will be focusing on leaked Panama Papers tomorrow, showing that some business executives, including Zimbabweans, are stashing millions of dollars in offshore accounts in various countries. So don't miss it. Make sure you tune in tomorrow. United States Ambassador to Zimbabwe Harry Thomas Jr. says America is looking at ways of working with the Zimbabwean government to end human trafficking. Our correspondent in Harare, Ivan Chifera, reports from the capital.
In a breakfast meeting with journalists in Harare today, Ambassador Thomas Jr. said stories of the 32 Zimbabwean women who recently returned from Kuwait had brought to the fore dangers of human trafficking, which has now become a global problem.
We would like to find ways to work with the government on human trafficking. I'm sure you all understand that this is modern-day slavery, that people are trafficked for labor as well as sex.
Zimbabweans desperate to eke out a living have been taken advantage of by human traffickers who recruit and market them abroad. Home Affairs Minister Ignatius Chombo told a press conference in Harare that the Zimbabwe government was committed to ending human trafficking.
The government of Zimbabwe, through the Minister of Home Affairs, is committed to fight human trafficking and to ensure that victims of trafficking are protected and reintegrated into the society via the right channels.
After failing to raise airfares for all the 32 women from Kuwait early this month, Chombo said government now has resources to bring home all victims of human trafficking who are in Kuwait. He said so far 70 women have been brought back home from Kuwait, while 16 others are now living at the Zimbabwean embassy in Kuwait waiting for air tickets. At the same time, Ambassador Thomas Jr. also urged the government to find human rights activist Itai Dzamara.
I think Itai Dzamara needs to be found, needs to be released. If the government or someone wants to charge him, they charge him.
Ambassador Thomas Jr., who has been in the country for a few months now, said he has already met with leaders of many political parties, including ZANU-PF, Movement for Democratic Change Formations, Zimbabwe People First, and People's Democratic Party. He said the United States would work with civil society to advance human rights, governance, and media freedom, among other issues. Ambassador Thomas Jr. further noted that they are currently reviewing civil society organizations to identify the most appropriate one to work with. The U.S., he said, was keen to see the full implementation of Zimbabwe's constitution adopted in 2013. On targeted sanctions, Ambassador Thomas Jr. said individuals affected by the restrictive measures were free to apply for their removal. The sanctions were imposed on President Mugabe and his inner circle for alleged human rights violations, election rigging. He said the U.S. supports economic reform in Zimbabwe, but it's entirely the responsibility of the government to create conducive environment for economic prosperity through clarity on policies such as the indigenization law. The U.S. government is the leading donor in Zimbabwe as it is providing millions of dollars in aid annually to alleviate hunger, tackle HIV, as well as funding education and exchange programs for local people. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
Meanwhile, women parliamentarians from all political parties today staged a protest in the House of Assembly, displaying discontent over the human rights trafficking issue. Studio 7's Marvelous Mtlanga Nyahuye speaks with parliamentarian Priscilla Misihai Rambwe Mushonga.
We have just had a debate right now in Parliament, and I'm quite excited that for the first time I invited my sisters to join me in a demonstration in the House. Basically, after I had made the presentation, I invited my sisters to join me on sitting down on the floor to be able to express that we have not been treated fairly, and that pretending to sit on the chairs and pretending to be treated like equal people who make equal representation is basically a myth and a lie. And that until the Minister of Foreign Affairs, in particular over this issue of Kuwait, addresses the issues that we have raised, we will continue to sit on the floor. So I'm happy that my sisters joined me. I actually don't mind even if they don't continue sitting. But today, the fact that across party lines, women just left their chairs and sat on the floor of Parliament, for me, is a big demonstration of how serious this thing is being taken.
That was parliamentarian Priscilla Misihai Rambwe Mushonga speaking with Studio 7's Marvelous Mtlanga Nyahuye from Harare. The Zimbabwe National Chamber of Commerce and the Confederation of Zimbabwe Industries today launched a report blasting the extent of corruption in the country. Studio 7's reporter Ntungamile Nkomo has more.
The report by the two groupings indicates that corruption has contaminated all facets of life in Zimbabwe and calls on government to take tough measures against offenders. In recent memory, the most prominent case of corruption in Zimbabwe is the disappearance of over $15 billion in diamond revenue, and no one has been brought to book. Economic commentator Rejoice Ngwenya, who attended the report launch at a breakfast meeting in Harare, says eradicating graft has become almost impossible.
There is absolutely no way that it can be eradicated until the executive itself takes charge to ensure that the anti-corruption is given the necessary policing and prosecutorial powers to deal with the culprits.
Mr. Mugabe is on record denouncing corruption even among his government peers. But Mr. Ngwenya says talk without action is not enough.
He has no political will, and I think he is the cause of the problem because he has not even effected the arrest of a single person. So he is complicit to this issue of corruption.
Cases of high-level corruption have dominated news headlines recently, with the latest being the suspension of Zimbabwe Revenue Authority boss Geshem Pasi and five other executives over allegations of graft involving the importation of vehicles. And now the tax collector has embarked on an anti-corruption campaign, taking out graphic advertisements in the press and also posting them on Twitter. But the campaign has not been without controversy. One advert features a bloodied and agonizing woman with a knife to her throat. The message says, "With every bribe, you are committing murder." Transparency International Zimbabwe and women's rights activists have called the commercial insensitive as it exploits the issue of domestic violence. Lofty Dube is the Transparency International Zimbabwe board chairman.
It is insensitive
it does not send the correct message. Because what you now see is an image of horror. There could have been any other picture to use. The message of corruption is lost. Zimra lost it in that case.
Mr. Dube's sentiments were echoed by activist Linda Mpofu.
Why use that picture? I really don't get it. Why didn't they use a man? Okay, fine, a man. Why did they use a man? I think there's something wrong with their marketing, or is it their marketing department or their information people? Honestly, it's in bad taste.
Meanwhile, the British Embassy in Harare today hosted an anti-corruption symposium where speakers expressed concern at the government's ineffectiveness in tackling graft. The symposium coincided with an international anti-corruption summit being hosted in London today by British Prime Minister David Cameron. Reporting for Studio 7 in Washington, I'm Tungameli Nkomo.